We'll have to make arrangements with children, but we'll work on that. But it's all married couples. July the 16th, we're going to have a little something special. A real special night we're going to try to have. All right? With some preaching, some eating, Lord willing, and some other things. So I'll give you more details about it as it comes up. That'll be July the 16th. All right, tonight, 1 Corinthians 10. And then we're going to pick up tonight at verse number 27. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 27. The Bible says this: "If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Father, we thank you again for your word. Pray, Lord, you help us, guide us, and direct us tonight. Give us what we need. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name, and please, for his sake, amen. Y'all can be seated. All right. Now, brethren, you know, we've been looking here in 1 Corinthians 10, and really from 1 Corinthians 8 on, 1 Corinthians 8 to 10 is this thing about things that were offered to sacrifice unto idols, and how that an idol is nothing. And meat offered in sacrifice to idols is nothing. But to go into an idol's temple and sit down and fellowship and have a meal there, that was a horse of a different color. In other words, Paul says, look, if meat is sold in the meat market, you don't need to ask, well, what was this meat used for? It's just meat. It don't matter. If it was used to worship an idol with, it doesn't matter. It's just meat. You can eat it. But to go into an idol's temple and sit down, even though you know that the meat is nothing and the idol's nothing, to sit and partake of a meal there, of a worship ceremony there, is to fellowship with devils, Paul said. And said, you can't do that. So you understand and you balance that thing out in your mind so that, listen, you know, it's not like that you go and say, well, we can't eat that. Yeah, you can eat it, but it's where you eat it at. All right, it's where you eat it at. You can't go, anything that will give the impression of fellowshipping with idols, fellowshipping with devils, you can't do that. And brother, that's a principle that we're getting here. You know, brother, listen. You know, I told you before, there's lots of things, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, if I do this, I'll be supporting that. Well, you got to figure out some of those things yourself in your own mind. But there's a difference between sometimes buying something that has. I give you an example, brethren. If you want to get down to it, brethren. So often, some of the clothes you have in this and other, brethren, where a lot of it comes from. I mean, man, Nike shoes and what. I mean, don't you know? If you want to go that route, you go that route. It's a free country. If you want to go bananas, go ahead and go that route. And I'm telling you, that will drive you bananas. But there's a difference, brethren, between taking and participating in something that is idolatrous and is wrong, and then taking an object more than just for what it is. All right? You understand that kind of thing. Now, brethren, the Bible says in Romans 14, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I won't say there's gray areas. I'll say this. There are areas that you need to be, some areas you need to be fully persuaded about. But there's some things that are black and white. That's just all there is to it. And there it is. And here you go. But brethren, there are some things that you need to be fully persuaded about. Brethren, there may be one restaurant that one brother may have a problem eating with and another don't. You better be fully persuaded in your own mind. Hey, brethren, listen. Some folks will go, and they don't mind, you know, they'll go to a restaurant if they sell alcohol there, but if they have a bar there, they don't want to go there. He said, "Brother Dawson, what's the right thing to do? You better be fully persuaded in your own mind. You figure it out." Really? Really, that's the kind of thing, man, that you got to take and figure out in your mind where you're clear about that kind of thing. All right? And let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. All right? Now, I'll tell you this. You know, you got to take and weigh those things out. You better weigh them out good. You better pray about it. And, you know, the thing we're going to look at tonight is, so often, brother, you got to think of how others feel about things in certain situations. It's about considering your brother or sister in Christ or considering others and not your own self. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Let's look tonight. Look where we started out at tonight. Verse number 27. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and ye be disposed to go. How about that? Now, the independent Baptist ways, you're supposed to say, what? You don't go nowhere with an unbeliever. Get out of here, man. Our Savior went many times. Look, they asked me his house, their house, man, he'd go. He'd go, man, he'd go there. But I'll tell you the truth, he didn't compromise, neither did he. And if you ask him a question, he would unload on you and let you hold it and say, pass the salt. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just, he'd go in your house. He'd sit at your table, and if you ask him a question, you were going to get both barrels. You asked for it. I mean, really. So, brethren, don't, listen, if you're willing to do as the Savior did, you know what I'm saying? I mean, brethren, look here. Yeah, brethren, look here. If you get an attitude, if you have an attitude, brethren, listen, there's a difference between going with someone somewhere and trying to be a help to them and trying to be cordial to them and then having fellowship all the time with them. But I had a man in my shop. He was a supervisor when I was in the military. And he would ask me and my wife over to eat. And you know what? We went over it. We'd go eat with him. Man, she fixed a big meal. He used to come and take his lawnmower when the church was over on Royal Road. He would take his lawnmower, ride it down the road and mow our yard for us just to do it. He wouldn't come to church for nothing. I'd go to his house and eat with him, and he knew what he was going to get. Man, we'd finish up that meal, have a good burp or two, man, and get that dessert, and then he knew what was coming. I was going to talk to him about his soul. And he knew it. And he knew it. And he understood that. I was going to talk to them both about their soul. They knew what they was going to get. You know, but hey, I was not going to take... I'm happy to go around and eat a bite with him. Brother, do you think me and him run around together as buddies? No, we couldn't. We didn't have anything in common to do that. You know what I'm saying, brother? I could go over and have a meal with him, all right? And be cordial, be right to him, you know, and talk to him the Lord. But brother, and if he'd ask me fishing, I'd probably go in fishing somewhere. Sure I would have. But brother, I couldn't go up and, you know what I'm saying, and hook up all the time because... Brother, we were just, we didn't have nothing in common, really. You know what I'm saying? And in other words, brother, I mean, oh, I might like fishing with him or something, this and the other. But brother, I had to be, you got to be careful. All right? And it's okay. Paul said, if an unbeliever bids you to a feast and you be disposed to go, how about that? That means you can go if you're disposed to go. Just make sure you do right when you go. And make sure you got the right attitude. Make sure you don't have a spirit of compromise about you. Listen, Rev. The word disposed means inclined. It says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go. That'd be like, see, there's an unbeliever, maybe at work or in the neighborhood, and they say, hey, we're having a little picnic over here. I'd like for you to come. But what should I do? Well, you better pray about it and figure some things out. All right. I heard what one fellow said one time. It's pretty good. I love this. I forgot the fellow's name was preaching. He said when he got saved, he used to run around with two fellows named Dickie and Donkey. Man, you must have been more of a come-tight character when your friends were named Dickie and Donkey, right? And he said he got saved. And said every Friday night, Dickie and Donkey come over and they'd all three drink. And said he got saved and he told his wife, said, oh my man, it's Friday night. Dickie and Donkey's coming over to drink. What am I going to do? She said, you better call the pastor. And said, man, pastor wanted a whole lot of help. Called me as a pastor. Dick and Donkey's coming over to drink. What am I going to do? He said, better pray about that. So, man, Friday night come, and Dick and Donkey didn't show up. In fact, they didn't show up for 10 years. Well, not 10 years, about 5 years. Finally, he ran into Dickie somewhere. He said, where y'all been? And he said, man, we heard what happened to you. But you know something? Listen, brother, let's just suppose an unbeliever bids you, ask you to go to the house, whatever. But all, should I go? Well, it depends. Pray about it. Think about it. Meditate over it. Ask yourself, what's going to be going on there? Is it just a meal or is there going to be some drinking going on? You know what I'm saying? I mean, is it like a block party, man, where everybody in the neighborhood is coming around? They're going to be, you might be best stay home. And just tell them, can't do that. Hey, if they've asked you over to the house, you know, they're just going to eat a meal. All right. Find out the details about it. Pray about it. Look it over. See if God will give you peace about it. All right. And look, but so what Paul's saying here is, so look, if any man say, or any of them that believe not, bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, look what he says, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. What Paul's saying is, all right, unbeliever asks you to his house or to a feast to eat. Paul says, once you go, you don't have to go and say, was this used in sacrifice to idols? Paul said, you don't have to ask that. It's just meat, eat it, it don't matter. You see, he's talking about a feast like someone would have their house or private. He's not talking about going to a service in an idol's temple. Paul said, that you don't do. You're fellowshipping with devils. But if somebody bids you to a feast, like going to a private home or whatever, you don't have to ask, is this meat offered to sacrifice to idols? It doesn't matter. Meat's just meat. He said, you can eat it. It's the same thing as the meat sold in the shambles, the meat market. You don't have to worry about it if it was used to sacrifice to idols. It's just meat. Thank God for it. Ask a blessing over it. Eat it. All right? But now, worship, going to fellowship in a temple where they're worshiping idols, you're not to participate in that. Again, we're looking here at a feast, as in a private home, not a ceremony in an idol's temple. The same rule applies here as applies to that which is eating meat sold in the shambles or the meat market. Look at verse 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offering sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Here's what Paul says. He says, let's suppose that you go, oh, I'm sorry, Father. Oh, Father, my apologies. I'm sorry. Yeah, you should. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So let's just suppose. Let's just always feel here. Let's just suppose that you go and somebody says, hey, I want you to come over and have a bite at the house. Man, my wife, she makes some killer nanner pudding, man. You need to come over to the house. And you need to take... So, oh, I think I'll do this. You go over and, hey, I'm going to have somebody else over too. And you're like, oh, that's great. And so you're sitting down there, and man, you're getting ready to put out, I mean, just nice steaks or something, get ready on there. And the fellow beside you says, hey, I know you're a Christian. I just thought you ought to know they use that meat there in the worship of idols. Just thought you ought to know. What you're supposed to do then is say, hey, I appreciate it. Thanks. I'm glad you let me know that. And then you refrain from that. You don't eat it. You know why? Because this guy, maybe it was another Christian brother who was weak in the faith and said, that was offering idols. All right, don't eat it. Because that guy, you know, it'll be a stumbling block to him. Maybe the guy's lost, but he's like, you're a Christian, and Christians aren't supposed to do that, so I thought I'd let you know. Hey, thanks, I appreciate it so much, man, thanks. You know, you don't sit there and go, what's your problem? You hung up on that? Man, you must be independent Baptist. Man, you don't do that. You know, you don't sit there arguing with the guy, you say, hey, thanks. Or the lost guy who's trying to help you out, you don't say, I don't care, no problem with me. But man, I thought you're a Christian, Christians aren't supposed to do that. Where'd you get that stuff from? I mean, don't do that. That probably ain't the time and the place to get into a deep theological discussion with just that individual like that. In other words, think about that and think about that the other person and the effect it might have on them, and don't do it. But also, you mean tell me that my life has got to be dictated by others? Yes. Yes. To a great extent, yes, it does. You've got to think about others. You see, brother, to take the attitude toward brethren or anybody else and say, well, I don't have no problem with it. If they do, they just have a problem. No, you got major problem. Your attitude stinks. Your attitude is unscriptural. Your attitude's wrong. You're supposed to have the attitude of, hey, if it's going to cause a problem to my brother or sister, hey, no problem, I'm going to refrain from that. I don't want to put a stumbling block in front of them. Well, brother, they just need to get over that. Hey, listen, the positive things you need to get over. You need to think of the other person. That's the whole thing Paul's talking about. Thinking of the other person and their benefit and not your own. Listen, take your Bible, go to Romans 14. Romans 14. Verse 15. Romans 14, verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. If your brother has a problem, let's just suppose you're somewhere and there's a brother in the Lord and he just got a problem with ham, man. He's believed the Christians shouldn't eat ham. There's some brethren out there like that. They love the Lord, they're saved, love the Lord. They just got a problem, man. They think I'm not supposed to eat meat. And they said, hey, brother, that's got ham in it. You know what you supposed to do at that point? Hey, brother, thanks for telling me. That's no problem. Well, Brother Goss, he thinks that you think it's okay. You might have the time to explain, but at that point right then, your Bible's telling you, don't be a stumbling block for that brother. To have an in-your-face attitude of, I ain't got a problem with that. Huh. And eat it. Guess what you're going to possibly do? You know you can bring death to that brother. But that's what you're talking about. Read your Bible. The Bible says he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Look here. You can bring judgment on that brother because what he's doing, he's like, you know, he's older than me in the Lord. Maybe he knows. And he eats, but he doesn't eat of faith. The Bible says whatsoever not is faith is sin. And the Bible says that weak brother can perish because he's doing something that's not of faith and he's sinning. And you know what? You help cause it. Because you're a cavalier attitude of, so what? Get over it. You're supposed to think of your brother and say, hey, brother, I know, but I'm hungry and I really like that. Get off it. That's the whole thing about this morning. Just stop that stuff. Man, we're pitiful, brother. So I wanted that. I like that. It's good. I can't believe that. So you couldn't have your hand casserole. You'll live. On the way home, stop and get you some. Or have the wife make you some. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you can't even. You think of your brother and sister, not you. God has given the believer liberty, but liberty is not to be used as an excuse to just do whatever you want. Your brother or sister's benefit is more important than your personal liberty. Understand, that's what Paul's getting across. All right, listen, brethren. Again, it's another's well-being and benefit. Another's well-being and benefit is more important than our liberty. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 24. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Others, brethren. Others. I said it last week, I'll say it again. Do you want to be miserable in this life? Then just concern yourself with yourself. Well, the quickest way to be miserable is to be concerned about nobody but you. By the way, brethren, I want you to understand, there is no self-esteem problem in this country. There's no self-esteem problem. Kids today do not, you hear me, do not suffer from low self-esteem. They do not. Brother Doss, no, these kids, no, brother. These kids today are consumed with self. I had somebody tell me one time, I've been diagnosed with low self-esteem. I thought, kid, you ain't got low self-esteem. All you're concerned with is you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Low self-esteem. Brother, somebody's told them that junk, and it's like, I've got this, I've got that, I've got that. They are consumed with self. They do not have low self-esteem. They've been fed that lie, and they're ate up with number one, self. You understand me, brother? Brother, look here. That's not so. These folks today, I know kids are going through a lot of hurt and everything. Brother, so many people today are ate up with their self. And they nurture that low self-esteem stuff like, poor me. And they nurture that stuff for attention. Yes. You know what it is? Baby me, stroke me, be good to me. Baby, please pat me on the back, stroke me. Me. I want attention. I need to grow up and get out of their self. Man, if you're saved, you need to get out of yourself and think of God and others. Not you. You want me miserable? Think of you. Drive you out of your head, man. You got to think of others. All right, listen. Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. You know, if you tell a kid that, you're suffering from low self-esteem. You know what? And the kid's going, yeah, I have low self-esteem. Hey, everybody, I got low self-esteem. Be good to me. Be good to me. I have low self-esteem. You know why I did that? I have low self-esteem. Brother, when I was coming up, when a kid did wrong, he knew what he was. I'm bad. I'm just rotten. And nobody pulled him aside and said, how do you feel about yourself? If somebody asked me that stuff, but some of these kids are so smart, they'll play right into that. Oh, I feel good about myself. Are you kidding, man? They've already done that stuff. When I was coming up, nobody said, how do you feel about yourself? It's like, you brat. You sorry piece of trash. I'm going to jerk a knot in your head and kick you out. How do you think of that? Put you out of school for a while. Beat your rear end. That's good stuff. That is. That works, man. That does. That works. And you know what? You're serious. I mean, brother, you know what? Brother, listen, I was able to get saved. You know why? You know why? Because I knew what I was. I wasn't no playing around about it. No excuses. I knew what I was. I was a sinner. I was a bad boy who needed to be saved. All right? And brother, look here. Again, there wasn't none of this stuff of, you're like, well, you know, how do you feel about yourself? And how this? It's like, you shape up, you piece of trash, you. Piece of trash! That's being nice, brother, because I don't know about you, but I was worse than that before God saved me. God saved me, He saved a piece of trash. All right? He saved somebody that was going to hell and deserved it. He saved somebody that was bad. And when He saved that person named Jonathan Gray Doss, when He saved him, you know what? The only thing good that Jonathan Gray Doss got at that point was Jesus Christ, because he still has no good in him outside of Jesus Christ. But look here. The person looking at y'all and the person looking back at me, the person looking back at me, we're not good. Nobody really wants to know the real you. The only good you got is Jesus Christ. The only good I got is Jesus Christ. Outside of Him, man, we're bad, brethren. And people need to know that. But this psychobabble stuff and this and that and the other, and trying to, what it is just taking, put it off somewhere else. So I don't have to stand still and take the fact I'm rotten, dirty, nasty, bad. When I got saved, brethren, I had to come to the point to realize what I was. Alright? And anything to kind of put that stuff off to one side does damage to a man's eternal soul. I said, all that psychobabble, all that kind of stuff. Man, you got to come clean what you are. I told you, brother, me and my wife, we picked up a young girl about 2 months ago. We was trying to help her out. She was on cocaine. She admitted it. She was in a mess. I got talking, and I got there and I thought, I ain't bringing up the Lord to this girl. Brother Doss, I talked to her before. She's strung out on drugs. I said, Lord, unless you open the door, I ain't saying. I mean, brother, just understand. So finally she kept, and I thought, I said, you just need to get right. I'm saved. You're saved. I'm saved. All right, you're saved. But you know what? When we got to talking, you know what she said? When I got to talking to her about deserving hell, well, I don't deserve hell. You ain't saved. You know what? She said she was saved, but she did not feel like she deserved hell. She did not. I told her, I said, I'm better than you, and I deserve hell. Brother Doss, you told her, I said, yeah, I am better than her. Brother, understand me. Time out. Understand me. I'm not out strung out on cocaine. I'm trying to live for God, read my Bible, do my family right. I'm better. Understand that my righteousness isn't its own, it's filthy rags. I didn't tell her I'm good. Now, I'm just trying. I tried to jar her head and let her know, look, I'm not strung out on cocaine. I'm not doing like you. I'm acting better than you, and I deserve hell, and you tell me you don't? I told her, I said, look, you ain't as good as I am. She said, you're not. You're not as good as I am. I deserve hell. I said, you read your Bible? No, you know. You trying to do right? You're strung out on drugs? I said, I'm better than you, and I deserve hell. It got her. She looked at my wife and said, is he telling the truth? So I said, yeah, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. You want his brother? Scooting it off on me. Any other thing. Instead of standing still, thinking, you know what, I am bad. But the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The best you can do is as filthy rags before the Lord. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But we got to come clean and admit what we are. All right, now listen, let's go on. Titus 3, verse 9. Titus chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says this. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Some people like argument. I hate it. Some people like to argue. Some people like contention. I hate it. And you know what? Some people feel like you're not supposed to avoid it. Your Bible says avoid it. I mean, if somebody pins you down, that's one thing. You can't lie. But brethren, look here. So often, that's the reason, brethren, look here. I have personal convictions. For the most part, I'm not going to talk to you about my personal convictions. And I hope you've got some, but I'm not really concerned about what yours are. I hope you got some, but that's your business. Now, brethren, there's some things that the Bible's black and white on. All right. But I got some personal convictions I'm not going to bring up to you. Well, why, Brother Doss? Because that's between me and the Lord, and I don't want to put something on you that maybe God ain't put on you. I don't want to get you going through something in your mind, well, maybe I need to do that. Maybe I'm not doing that. Hey, no, I'm not going to do that stuff. I don't want to hear yours. I'm serious, I know. But look here. You know what the Bible says? Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Avoid that stuff. Avoid that stuff, brother. Do you know what, brother? That doesn't edify you. So often what it just does, it can get you exasperated. Just idle talk. Let me tell you how I'm tying this in. Listen. The word contention means strife in words or debate. It means quarrel, angry contest, controversy. Don't argue. Don't debate unless questioned. Just have respect to the other's feelings. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose there we are, and we're sitting there. I'll bring you footstool back in a minute. Let's suppose we're sitting there, and our brother says, "Hey, brother, that stuff has got ham in it." All right. Brother, you know what? Paul's telling me, if my brother's grieved with my meat, then, you know, or if he says, you know, let's take the context of 1 Corinthians 10. That was offered sacrifice to idols. Okay? I know that my liberty in Christ allows me to eat that. But Paul's saying, look, that my love for my brother or my concern for this person's well-being should say, oh, hey, no problem. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know. Now, you know how a lot of the saints would handle that? Well, now, let's discuss this, brother. How come you don't want to... That's not what the Bible says to do with that. In fact, the Bible says avoid debate and contentions and striving. Well, brother, how's that person going to be helped? Listen, there'll be time. There'll be time for that. But at that point, you should have respect. You know what? You know where you're at? You're in somebody's house. And you're going to call... Brother, look here. Don't go into somebody's house and get involved in strife and in contention and argue if you can avoid it. Now listen, I didn't say if they ask you, if that person asks you, do you have a problem with this? Do you have a... All right, they ask you, tell the truth. But I'm saying if all they did was inform you, say, well, this is... The Bible tells you to have respect to that person and just avoid that to keep from causing a stumbling block to that person. Brethren, look here. Be careful about things. Think of others and not yourself. Others and not yourself. And understand, brethren, that there's a time for things. If somebody questions you about something, the Lord Jesus, look here, the Lord Jesus would go to your house. But now you brought something up. Ooh. Now if you brought it up, he was going to let you hold it. And he'd tell the truth. But brother, what Paul's talking about here is that when you're there and you've got liberty in something, but there's somebody else that don't, you're to think of them. You're to think of them and keep from being a stumbling block unto them. Look at verse 29, 1 Corinthians 10, 29. 1 Corinthians 10, 29. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. You see, your conscience may be clear in a matter, but we must think of others. We must consider whether we will cause their weak conscience to be wounded. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 10. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit and meet in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. How about that? I'll say, if it's going to cause a problem for my brother, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to cause a stumbling block for my brother. But it's wrong if you have the attitude, well, I can. Let's suppose. Okay, look here. Give you an example. Let's just suppose that somebody asks you to go somewhere with them. And you know that there's maybe certain pieces of apparel that they have a problem with. Your love and respect for them should make you not wear that offensive piece. You see what I'm saying? You shouldn't say, well, this is just who I am. They got a problem with it. No, they don't have a problem as much as you got a problem. Your problem's worse. Because you're not thinking about that person, their love and concern. You see, you should take and say, you know, I wouldn't want to do anything that's offensive to them. If I wear something like this, that might be offensive to them. So I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. This article of clothing may be offensive to this person. And if we're going to be there, or if we're going to do something with them, then I don't want to do that. Now, you know what? You know what so many of the saints do, which is not a very saintly thing? They say, no problem. I just want nothing to do with that person. That's wrong. Well, I'll just isolate myself, and I just want to have nothing to do with nobody. That's wrong. You need to fellowship with folks. You need to spend time with folks. And sometimes that means if you know somebody's got a problem with something, don't do that thing around them. Well, I'm being a hypocrite. No, you're not being a hypocrite. You're showing respect. That's not hypocritical. That's showing respect. Now, if they ask you how you feel about something, you know, look here. Let's just take, I don't know. Man, that thing can go all kinds of ways. Let's just suppose, like the article of clothing, somebody's got a problem with. Maybe it's something that's a shirt that says something, or an article of clothing that's a certain, whatever. And you know this person has a problem with it. If you're going to be somewhere with it, try not to do that. Why would you? Well, I'm just going to show them that I can't. And that's the wrong attitude. Prove that to me by the Bible. Prove your attitude by the Bible. Justify it by the Bible. You can't. You can't. Now, if they pull you aside and say, well, how do you feel about this? Well, okay, tell them. Have a discussion if they ask you. If not, show respect. And don't show respect grudgingly like, oh boy, you know, this person's got it. Don't have that attitude. Think of the other person. All right, look here. Brethren, go back to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 29. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? In other words, brethren, let's not let our gift of liberty be a cause of judgment and condemnation of others. You understand what I'm saying? Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? In other words, suppose I have liberty in something. Well, I shouldn't let my liberty become a cause of somebody. I shouldn't let my liberty become something that somebody else can bring into judgment and condemnation over it. Okay? Here's the deal. Paul knows that there is no problem eating meat that's been offered to idols. He has liberty in that. But if another brother has a problem with it, Paul says, I shouldn't take and exercise my liberty and use that precious gift of liberty in this thing as something for somebody to be accusatory of. And say, see, look at you. You eat meat that's offered to idols. Look what you did. Hey, yeah, he's got liberty to do it. But it's better that he not let his liberty be lifted up as something that somebody can use to accuse him of and throw things at him. Don't let your liberty be misused. Take your Bible, go to Romans 14. Romans 14 again, verse 14. Romans 14, look at verse 14. Look what Paul says. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Look at verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. What good is he spoken about? The good is that you understand your liberty. You know that you're not bound down. Meat's just meat and you can eat it. That's that good thing, that Christian liberty you have. But if you misuse that liberty will be evil spoken of. If you use that liberty around people who don't understand, they'll take it and they'll say, look, he eats meat of the idols. He has, look, he takes meat of the idols. It don't even bother him. He'll eat that stuff off of the idols.
Yeah, you have genuine liberty to do that, but they don't understand that, and now your liberty is being something used to be attack you with. Don't let that happen. Don't let your liberty be turned into something that can be used to attack you with and to come against you with. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 30. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 30. For if I by grace be a partaker, you know, of the meat offered, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? You see, it is by grace and not law that allowed Paul to partake of that meat in question. But why should he act in such a way that would allow this grace and liberty to be evil spoken of? See, he shouldn't. He's got grace and liberty. He knows he can thank God for it and eat it. But God forbid that he allow that grace and that liberty to be a source of him being attacked and to be to folks to accuse him of. He's got it. But that doesn't mean it always should be exercised, brethren. Brethren, we started out reading this chapter about legal things and expedient things. Something may be legally okay, but still not be right. It might not be expedient. It might be okay legally, but is it the best and the right thing to do? Paul, is this legally okay? Man, he can eat that meat. But is it best? Is it the right thing to do? Will it cause a brother to fall? You've got to bring those things into account. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Ain't that something? Do everything to the glory of God. You say, well, Brother Doss, that don't really mean everything. Yes, it does. It says everything. It means everything. Well, now, Brother Doss, everything? Mm-hmm, everything. Eating and drinking? Yep. Eating and drinking to the glory of God. How? Tell me how I'm supposed to eat and drink to God's glory. I will gladly tell you how. Number one, you ask a blessing over it and give thanks to God for it. Number one, you bow your head and you say, God, thank you for this. Thank you. Thank you for providing this. And God, I pray you bless it to the nourishment of my body. Ask, thank Him for it. Ask Him to bless your body. Number two, you eat and drink to give glory to God by eating and drinking moderately. Don't indulge with sin of gluttony. That's eating and drinking to the glory of God. Number three, you don't drink and get drunk. That's eating and drinking to the glory of God. You're not going out getting drunk and things like that. You're not being immoderate, you're not being intemperate, things like that. Listen, by not being gluttonous, by being thankful, by asking a blessing, you're eating and drinking to the glory of God. Hey, you eat and drink to the glory of God when if somebody has a problem with what you're getting ready to eat or drink, you refrain from it for their benefit. That's eating and drinking to the glory of God. Yeah, how about that? How about that? That what you eat and drink can be a matter of either honoring God or dishonoring God. We're just like, it's food, let me stuff it in. No, man. What you eat and drink should be a source of giving glory to God. I'll be discreet, but I want to say this to you. I'll be discreet. Bless your heart, even the bedroom can be a place to give glory to God. Now you are... No, I'm not. Listen. Even such a thing as that is a place to give glory to God. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you what. Keep things right, keep things pure, keep things proper, be unselfish, think of the other person. There's a right way to do everything. I'll just leave it to you that way. Hey, maybe your job's to take out the trash. Do it to the glory of God. Take out trash to the glory of God? Yeah. Maybe your job at work is to take out the trash. You know what? There's maybe a way they want the trash taken out. Do it that way. Maybe you're taking the trash out and you drop some of it out and there it's on the ground. Pick it up. You understand what I'm saying, brother? I'm telling you, everything you do for the glory of God. That's what your Bible says. Everything. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to do everything. You know what I'm saying? And and you should do it the right way and the right attitude. And you can bring honor and glory. You can bring honor and glory to God by everything you do. I promise you. If you'll pray on that and you'll meditate on that, you'll find out that every act you do tomorrow, everything you do, if there's a way you can give honor and glory to God, especially if folks know that you profess to be saved. Listen, this means if there's a right way to do it the right way, be unselfish, think of the other person. What does it say? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. How about that? Pretty good, Brad. The clothes you wear, do they glorify God? Are they offensive to others? The places you go, how you address your... I mean, brethren, all of that. Man, you're blood bought. You're not your own, the Bible says. You're to give honor and glory to God in everything. It is not your life any longer. You've got to remember that. Look at verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That's a real important verse, brethren. Because that verse in your Bible shows you there are only really three groups to contend with. Everybody in this world, every person in this world falls into one of those three groups. Jew, Gentile, and Church of God. And the Church of God is made up of saved people of the other two. See, it's not Jew and Arab, or Jew and Scottish, or Jew and... It's Jew and Gentile. You got Jew, and then you got everybody else in the world. Gentile. I'm serious, brother. You got Jew and you got Gentile. And then you got the church. And who's the church made up of? Saved Jews or saved Gentiles. And you know what the Bible says? You're not. The Bible says don't give offense to either one of those three groups. Don't offend the Jew. Don't offend the Gentile. Don't offend the church. Now hold on a minute. Time out. We're not talking about compromise. Sometimes when you do right and do truth, you're going to offend people. That's okay. We're talking about not giving offense when you don't have to. Brother, you know, it's one thing. Brother, you know what? It's one thing if somebody doesn't like me based on the Scripture, on truth. It's another thing if somebody don't like me because I'm a jerk. Big difference. You know what some of the saints do? Some of the saints are jerks. And what they do is, they kind of take and do this. Nobody likes me. Tell the truth. Stand for the Lord. No, your personality stinks. You can't get along with nobody. And it's your fault and you need to work on it. But you're hiding behind it and saying, I'm telling the truth. They don't like me because I'm standing for God. They don't like you because your personality stinks, man. Need to do something, don't you? But it's one thing if nobody cares about me because I'm telling the truth, but it's called I'm a jerk. That's a big difference. Listen. This is, again, I want to emphasize, this is referring to unnecessary offenses. Some offenses come by doing right. Let it come, then. If you're doing right and people get offended, let it roll. Don't matter. You're doing right. That's okay. But better if they're offended because you just are full of yourself, or you're arrogant, or you're prideful, or you're contentious, or you're this and that. You know what? You need to work on that. You need to work on that. Listen, can you take a Jew? Don't give offense to a Jew. You know what? I've worked with Jews before. Mr. Fox, I went and would go to his house once a week, about 5-6 years ago. And, I mean, I took Hebrew from him and got chances to witness to him and all. You know, I enjoyed it. I had chances to witness to him, talk to him. But I worked with a Jew one time, and one of the fellows I worked with kept hogs. You know what's coming. I told you before. He kept hogs. He was a hog farmer on the side. He barbecued some of them pigs, some of them hogs, and brought some barbecue in one night. Well, it was great. But you know what he did? He turned to the Jew. Our supervisor said, hey, you want these ham sandwiches? Man, I thought you sorry thing. Because he knew. He was a Brooklyn. We should have done that. That wasn't right. That wasn't right. He said, Brother Doss, did that, was that Jew offended of you guys eating? No, he didn't. He wasn't offended at that. Now, if he had took offense of it, me, I should have said, no, I ain't going to eat any of it. But he didn't have a problem with that. But see, offer it to him, that was another matter. Don't offend a Jew when you can help from it. Now listen, if a Jew gets offended at the name of Jesus Christ, he just got to get offended. He just has to get offended. All right? But don't unnecessarily offend. Hey, a Gentile. That's all the rest of us. Brethren, if you can avoid offending somebody, don't do it. But don't compromise the truth to keep from offending somebody. And in the church of God, brethren, don't offend your brethren. When you can avoid it. When you can avoid it. And can I say this to you real quick? Don't have thin skin. Don't be the word, you offended me. You hurt my feelings. Ah, come on, man. Get off that. If you're gonna live in this life, especially if you're gonna serve God, you better get some thick skin. your feelings are going to get hurt. And people are going to, and you just don't fret it, don't sweat it, pick up and go on. Don't let it get to you. You have hurt people's feelings, you probably didn't mean to, but you have, and others have hurt you, and you've been hurt and got hurt, and it's going to happen again. Don't fret it. Don't fret it. Don't be so thin-skinned and so touchy. You know what I'm saying? The people got to walk on eggshells around you. Don't be that way. You know, because it makes people not want to be around you. All right? Try not to offend nobody, but be careful that you don't have a real thin-skinned kind of personality. And real quick, go to look at verse 33. 1 Corinthians 10:33, real quick. Paul says, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." All right. You know, Paul says he would please all men in all things. Does that mean Paul was a compromiser? Never. Paul was no compromiser. Does that mean you're supposed to just do whatever it takes to get somebody saved? No. You don't do sinful things to get the gospel to people. You know what I'm saying? Like Christian rock and roll. There's no such thing. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know, you don't do those, you don't dress and look like the world to try to win the world. That's not what he's talking about. When he's saying he's all things to all men, he's not talking about that. He's talking about if he's a Jew, he tries to identify with them where they're at. If he's around a Gentile, he's like a Gentile. In other words, he deals with people where they're at. That doesn't mean you go out here and have body piercings and tattooings, this and that, so I can relate to people. You don't do that stuff. That's how you win people to Christ. You don't do that. That's not what he's talking about. All right? But it is that, brethren, you try to take and keep from being offensive, unnecessarily offensive, and you think of others so that you can, brethren, try to get the truth out of you and try to win them to God. Try to help them out. All right? He says, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Brethren, we should please others instead of ourselves. When the principle involved is merely our own self-interest, and it will do damage to others, we should deny ourselves. You see what I'm saying? Listen, Ben, I'll say it like this. When it's a matter of right and wrong in principle, you don't worry about pleasing somebody. You do right by God. But if it's not a matter of principle, if it's just a matter of self-interest, are you with me? Look here. Let's just suppose, brethren, that I've got to take a stance. Let's just suppose, I'll give you an example. When I was in the military, I had to, they asked me, during a leadership school, they asked me to give a prayer. And they told me that I couldn't pray in the name of Jesus. And I said, we got a problem here. Now, was that going to offend some people? Yes, it was going to offend them. Oh, well. You just got to get offended. I called up the base chaplain. They said, "Well, you need to call the base chaplain." So I called the base chaplain. I said, they told me that I can't pray in the name of Jesus. This is before the Lord called me to pastor. He said, "They told me I can't pray in the name of Jesus." He goes, "Well," I said, "you tell me I can't?" "Well, no, I'm not saying you can, but there might be some people that will be offended there." I said, "Bottom line is, though, you're not saying that there's nothing that says that I can't do that. Because if I said I couldn't, I just wasn't going to do it." He goes, "No, no, no." So I said, "No problem." So the day of the ceremony, the guy running leadership school said, "I want to see your prayer." Jesus loved that. I said, "I have a prayer, man. I just pray when I get there." He said, "Well, I need to see your prayer and have it approved." He says, "No." I said, "No, there's no, you know." He says, "Well, did you talk to the chaplain?" I said, "Oh, yeah." "Oh, okay." So one of the instructors in the school was saved. He was a good guy, a little black fellow. He was saved. You say, "Little black guy?" He is even shorter than me. Believe it, I can say little black guy. He's even shorter than me. So that night I got up, you know, and I asked the blessing in Jesus' name. That fella come up to me and he goes, "Oh, you made them mad." And they were. He was hot. Oh, well. But I didn't do it to try to be contentious. But I was asked by the class to give the invocation there. I gave it in Jesus' name. It offended you? Oh, well. You're offended? Oh, well. You need to be offended. All right. But listen, brother. But listen. To take and have an attitude needlessly over something that didn't matter, that would be wrong. You see, that was a matter of doctrine, a matter of truth. If I'm sitting down to eat a meal and somebody says that was offered to idols and they have a problem with that, brethren, The only reason I would do that is because I wanted to eat that meat. You know what I'm saying? That's a matter of my own self-interest. I need to deny myself. Okay? Understand. You don't win people by compromise. But when no compromise involved isn't involved, it's just a matter of you denying your own selfish interest. Deny yourself. That's what Paul's talking about here when he's all things to all men, that he might save some. That kind of thing. Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of Paul, just real quick. Let me give you an example of him seeming to be contradictory, but yet adjusting himself to the situation. See, but that's why so many times situations are different, and you've got to take each situation as it comes up. I'm going to give you two examples of the Bible of where Paul, his actions are contradictory, but it was right what he did in each case. Take your Bible and go to Galatians 2. And this will help you out. So let me tell you something. Sometimes you'll hear your pastor, whether it's me or whoever you ever sit under, you'll hear your pastor preach a point, and you're like, praise God, man. I know how Brother Dawson handled the situation, man. I tell you what, I know. Yes, sir, I know what he's preached. And then a situation will come up, and you'll see me handle it maybe a certain way. You're like, I don't understand. Brother, I don't understand. Brother Dawson, I heard you preach this, but why did you handle it that way? Because hopefully it was the right way to handle that situation. And what I preached still holds true. Let me show you what I mean. Listen to me. Look at Galatians 2. Be careful, brethren, about the judgments you make about situations. Galatians 2, look at verse 1. Now, hang with me. If you're getting tired, hang on. We're just about done. Hang on. This is important. Galatians 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But listen, but neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know what happened? You know what Paul just told them believers there at Galatia? He came up to Jerusalem one time. And some of them, there were some false brethren, some untrue brethren, some false brethren came in and said, you know, hey, you need to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul's like, there ain't no way, that ain't right, that has nothing to do with salvation. And Titus wasn't circumcised. And Titus didn't get circumcised. And Paul took a stand. Now, okay, so you're after reading that, you're like, hey, man, praise God, boy, I tell you what, I know how Paul would handle that thing, man. Man, no circumcision, no circumcision. He made it plain. All right, take your Bible. Take your Bible and go to Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 1. Acts 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Oh, my head hurts. Paul, what are you doing? I don't understand. You and Titus made this big stand, and y'all said no, and Titus didn't get circumcised. And now you took Timothy, and you have him circumcised. But I don't understand. That don't make sense. Yeah, it does. In the situation referred to in the book of Galatians, there was false doctrine being brought in. And a right stand had to be taken to show that, look, no, circumcision has nothing to do with being saved. That had to be refuted and dealt with. In Acts, it wasn't about doctrine. The problem was there were Jews around there who didn't. That was in the Galatians, it was false brethren. In Acts, there were Jews there. And Paul's trying to reach them. If Timothy's uncircumcised, he's not going to have any time, he's not going to have any way to get in and talk with them. So it was best that Timothy be circumcised. And praise God, Timothy was willing to do it. Do you understand, brethren? Be careful. Different situations call for different things. Never compromise, never sin, but handling things as a circumstance, a situation may require it. So brethren, many times a principle, you may hear a principle preached that is right, but you may see a situation handled in a way like, well, I understand. That doesn't mean the wrong's been done. It just means the circumstances dictate for it to be handled a certain way. And don't you forget it. At one place, it would be wrong for Titus to have been circumcised. It would give the wrong impression. Right here, it was needful for Timothy to be. And those are contradictory actions, but they were both right in their individual circumstances. And don't forget it. Don't forget that. So that's a matter of Paul being all things to all men, and Timothy also. Why didn't he do it? Why did Paul say, you know, that cost a lot, man. Timothy's he's a big boy now. He's not a little baby, you know. Timothy, I think it'd be best, pal, if you go under the knife. And you know what? Timothy's like, amen, Paul. Let's win them Jews. That's a blessing. To try to win them Jews, Paul was willing to ask if Timothy was willing to do it for the gospel's sake. You know, instead of saying, hey, they're Jews, just let them come around, they're lost, you know, hey, they rejected the Lord, why do I have to have surgery done to my body for their sake? No, sir. He didn't have that attitude. Could he legally have had that attitude? Oh, yeah, sure, he didn't have to be circumcised. Hey, the Jews didn't want the gospel. No, he didn't take that attitude. He didn't take that attitude. He said, no, I'm willing to do it because we want to reach those Jews. To the point of having surgery done to himself. You know, I mean, minor surgery to be sure, you know, not like, but still, you know. I don't want anybody in here thinking that Origen did the right thing when he castrated himself. You know that. Don't, you know. That's a bad place that, you know, false doctrine can get you into. Origen, one of the big Bible corruptors. Bible says, you know, the Bible says there's some that made themselves, you know, and that fellow took that thing, man, and castrated himself. And said years later he realized he shouldn't have done it. What's you? I'm serious, brethren. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Make sure your doctrines sound the word ought to be. But right here is an example, though, brethren, of somebody willing to deny their self for the sake of the gospel, thinking of others instead of his own self. Paul says, even as I please all men in all things. I want to close with you with 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9:19. Look what Paul says. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. There you go. He wasn't talking about partaking of sinful things. Not that. So when someone comes to you dressed like the world, talking like the world, looking like the world, trying to win them to Christ. Oh, no. They're not trying to win them to Christ. They're wanting to act that way and be that way because that's what they want to do. But when somebody comes up to you and they got earrings dangling down half on their head and they got all kind of tattoos on their body and they're doing this and that and they say, I want to win this group to Christ. No, man, they want to dress like that because they want to. Okay? No. That's not being all things to all men. That's indulging in sin because you want to and then trying to justify it. No, brethren. This principle is denying yourself. Not indulging in sinful things, but denying self. That you might be able to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see these principles. Dear God, that we may know how we ought to treat one another. Lord, that we would deny self and realize that, Lord, your glory and our brother's benefit is more important than even our personal liberty. Lord, help us to see these principles. Dear God, that we would give none offense ever to thee, our Lord, nor to the Jew, Gentile, or church. Father, help us to learn these things and take heed to them. And we ask this all in the Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I love you. You're dismissed. Hope you have a good week. Hope to see you, Lord willing, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.